I love any time that in Scripture we're given a number. When a number is proclaimed in the Word of God, there's a lot of significance to it. And in our first reading today from Revelation, we're given a great number, 144,000. The number of those marked with the seal, those entering into that heavenly reality, those who are protected from the things that were to come in the world. 144,000. Now, at times recently, in modern times, the temptation for some Christians is to look at this fundamentally. That's the number, and that's it, who are getting into heaven. Well, if that's the case, we're in a lot of trouble because there's been a lot of Christians that have come before us. And if it's only going to be 144,000, yikes. But for us to stop and think, wait a minute. No, what is this number? What is the significance of this number? Why is it being revealed? 144, let's start there. The root of that is 12. 12 times 12. 12, those in the early church would have heard 144,000 and immediately thought of 12. 12 throughout salvation history is a powerful number because 12 calls to mind the 12 tribes of Israel, the initial relationship with our God, and the promise that those 12 will be restored. All throughout salvation history, that's what's drawing the people of God, is this promise of restoration, the fulfillment of the 12 tribes of Israel. And we see that in Christ choosing his 12 apostles. And so when they see 144, that's 12, that's the number of fulfillment, times the number of fulfillment. They're seeing this is a promise of great fulfillment. And just to prove that even further, let's multiply it by 1,000. Now, to us right now, 1,000, that doesn't really seem like much, possibly. Why didn't they say kajillion or bajillion or some made-up but huge number that implies massive amounts? And as I was thinking about this number this week, I turned to my Apple Music library, and I thought, wait a minute, actually, the concept of 1,000 is something that we still place on our hearts. Darling, don't be afraid. I have loved you for 1,000 years. I'll love you for 1,000 more. Is Christina Perry saying, look, you've got 2,000 years, bud, and that's it. No love after that. That's the capacity I have for love. No. No, she's saying, I have loved you for so long, and I will continue to love you for so long. I have walked 500 miles, and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. You guys kind of missed your cue. You should have said, da-da-da-da, and like come in and stuff, so... Obviously, we're going to have a conversation about my expectations of participation in Mass, but maybe after we don't have masks and stuff. But no, there's nothing magical about 1,000 miles to the beloved's door. What's being said in that song is this reality that I would walk forever. I would walk for such a long time to be able to enter into relationship with you. The reality of the number 1,000, of it being this indication that is meant to stretch our hearts and show the magnitude that we are willing to go towards for relationship, to enter in and to show love and to receive love, that's not something that's foreign to us. So the number 144,000, we need to sit with that and let it stretch our understanding of what is being promised to the people of God. What is being promised to those who mark themselves with the seal? The seal is the same word as mark. And so it would have been used tau, the letter that looked kind of like a T. And so the early church fathers understood that very clearly as the cross. That the seal, when it's talking about the 144,000 marked by the seal, they are marked by the cross. They have conformed their life to the cross. to this great image of sacrificial love, the image of relationship. Do we sit with that number, 144,000, and let ourselves be drawn into the contemplation of the magnitude of that promise? Because we do in our music, we do it in modern day, but do we do it in the spiritual life? Because that number is then added to a great multitude that can't even be counted. And this is a reality that we celebrate today, All Saints Day. We have this opportunity to recognize the great promise of citizenship, that we as a Christian people who strive to be marked by the cross, that the promise isn't life here on earth. The promise is life eternal. The promise is a citizenship in heaven where there is fulfillment upon fulfillment, where our hearts are literally filled and made whole again for all eternity, for as long as we could think and even comprehend and farther. What a great thing we celebrate that it is our destiny to be saints and to join that citizenship. And honestly, providentially, what a great thing to be reminded of at the beginning of this week that, let's face it, it could be a really tough week for a lot of us. The reality that our hearts and our minds, there's stress, there's anxiety, whether it's socially or politically or even in the church itself, that we are constantly in today's age, as always in the history of the church, being pulled in this reality that we are living in a world, but we are not of this world, that our citizenship is meant for that heavenly promise. What a great thing to be reminded of today, to celebrate today, so that we can go into this week recognizing that we are destined for sanctity. We are destined to be set apart, to be marked in the image of the cross, to enter into relationship and love that transforms. It's important that this is also stated because on top of everything else, this week is also the beginning of Vocation Awareness Week, as if we needed another thing on this week. But I think it's very important that we stop for a moment and think, Vocation Awareness Week. What is the point of this? An awareness of vocation. Now, it's not saying an awareness of the need for vocations in any capacity. I think we're all aware of the need, but the need is not the focus or what we are growing in an awareness of, because the need is always there. What's needed is for us to say yes to this conforming to the cross. The awareness is this growing awareness that each and every one of us is called to a relationship that transforms and sanctifies us. That each one of us is called to be saints. Each one of us is destined to join this group, this communion of saints that we celebrate today. And it's not just in a kind of a broad sense, because sanctification, being made holy, it's very personal. And that's where our vocation comes into play. The particular vocation calling that each one of us has placed on our heart as to how we are being called to love God and to love our brothers and sisters. How we are being called to give our lives to God and to another. Every vocation reflects that structure because every vocation is the image of the cross. It is gift of self out of love for another. And so we grow in an awareness of that today because if we're not taking the time to say, what does it look like to live out sanctification? What does it look like to be made holy? Then we won't allow that seal of the cross to transform our life. To recognize what is that specific call. And maybe we're already living out that vocation. Maybe we have said yes to marriage or religious life or priesthood, whether we're living out a celibate life or a spousal life of love within a family. Or maybe we're still asking the question, how is my heart shaped? What vocation am I being called to be transformed by? My heart being called to be fulfilled by the way that I love God and love another. Whatever the case, this week is the chance for us to grow in an awareness of that. And not just for ourselves, but that we would become a community that desires that yes from every one of us present here. That we would be encouraging and helping each other say yes to that call to sainthood. This week, we focus on that. We grow in an awareness of what does it mean to say yes. And so it's perfect that we're given the gospel that we are for All Saints Day. The Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. They're literally a checklist for us for sanctification. They've been referred to as a roadmap to holiness. This is the path we take to get here. That we would join that heavenly citizenship. And I want us for a second to put ourselves in the place of the Israelites hearing the Beatitudes for the first time. Because Jesus goes to the hillside of Galilee. And this was a place, a location that a lot of political leaders would go to start to gather followers. And the political leaders, they would go into this space because it's protected. There's hillsides and there's ravines where they could stand up and speak to a whole group and form almost a militia with the intent of overthrowing the oppressive Romans. And so here is Jesus, who's being identified as the Messiah. He is our leader. He is the one who will free us. We know the promise. And so we gather around him and he puts himself up on this mountain. And I want us just for a moment to place ourselves there. The great excitement and expectation of what this leader's about to say. He's gonna lead us to freedom. What is he gonna say? What's our plan? How are we gonna get this done? And then Jesus says, be merciful. Be a peacemaker. Blessed are you who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And all of a sudden, hearing this, we're like, wait, what? That sounds like an awful plan, Jesus. There's no way that we can overthrow the Romans this way. And what he is revealing to us is that, no, this way, this is the way to sanctification. This is the way to transform us and set us apart from this world because we are destined for something great. What do the Beatitudes look like in my life right now? What does it look like within my vocation or how I am living? What does it look like to be meek, to hunger and thirst for righteousness? What does mercy look like in my life? This is literally the guide for us. And so this week, let us grow in an awareness of this list, of what it looks like being lived out in my life. How am I being called to do this? How am I being called to each one of these things that Christ presents as the way to sainthood? We are destined for something so great that we can't even imagine it. Fulfillment upon fulfillment, forever and ever. It exceeds our expectations because we aren't even capable of expecting enough. That is the promise. That is the citizenship promised to each and every one of us. Guys, let's be saints. And may our awareness of that grow this week as we strive to give ourselves more freely, as we strive to love God well and to serve and love others well.